Okay, go to 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Again, if we watch and pray, and we obtain strength and grace, then again, God will keep us from certain trials. He will not allow certain things to come on. Look at verse 9. For the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So he has his means and his methods. But again, we have to do what's required of us. You know, and many people, they run at the last minute. Many backsliders and many Christians have fallen because they wait to the last minute. They're like the foolish virgins. You know, they try to get oil when it's too late. You can't run and get oil when the oil pump fails, you know. And when the good master of the house gets up and shuts the door, that's not the time to go knock. He means once he shut the door, everybody who was ready is in. You know, when God shut the door of the ark, that was too late to believe. Noah couldn't have let the people in because God shut the door. He preached for 120 years. Nobody listened to him. Lot tried to warn his son-in-laws or his future son-in-laws and people he knew. They mocked him. But as soon as he left the cities, the angels rained sulfur and fire down. That was not the time to run out into the streets and say, "We believe, we believe." Everybody in hell believes. Do you know everybody in hell is enlightened? Everybody in hell knows why they're there. That's why they weep and gnash their teeth and have eternal remorse and regret because they can't do nothing about it. See, that kind of enlightenment doesn't produce anything. Everybody in the last day, the last judgment, will get the truth. It just won't do them any good. So again, you don't run to God. You know, when you've made provision, you don't run to God. You'll get no help. Okay, so he knows how to deliver the godly. He didn't say he knows how to deliver the backslidden, or the lukewarm, or the carnal, or the worldly. He's not going to deliver them. They're already in the enemy's territory. They're already defeated. Many of them just don't know it. You know, again, we talked about this. Go to Romans 13. Not giving you anything new. Peter said, read the epistles. Maybe we'll do them again one time. Peter said, I'm not writing anything new to you. People always want something new. You know why? Because they don't want to do what's already there. They're never going to get nothing. People who want intellectual knowledge and don't want to obey the Lord will never get nothing. And even the knowledge they give will not help them spiritually. Peter said, I'm going to tell you many things that you already know, lest you forget them. And you need to keep reminding yourself, especially when it comes to the devil and temptation and the world. You know, we need to remind ourselves. What was Eve's fault? She wasn't told. It said, he caused me to forget. The devil tricked me. See? He used truth and twisted it, and I forgot what God told me. And so that's how we fail. We forget what God has told us, or we don't obey what God has told us, and so there's a defeat waiting. Romans 13. Look at verse 12 first. The night is far spent. Think of Peter here in the garden. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Now, during the night, Jesus said, pray. Two and three times, get up and pray, get up and pray. And they slept. And then at the last time, he didn't say get up and pray, did he? He says, the prince of this world, or hour, is here. Now is his time, the prince of darkness. Let us be going. It was too late for Peter to get right now. His defeat was already preordained. See, Jesus saw it. Because he saw he didn't prepare. You know. And so what did he say? He says here, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. For this reason, let us cast off the works of darkness. Until you deal with the old man and you willfully put away sin, you're not getting no grace from God. And you're not getting no help. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What is the armor of light? We'll get into that when we get into Ephesians. It's the armor of God. It's what he gives us to defeat the enemy and to stand in victory. And so unless we put off the old, we cannot put on the new. Confession of sin is vain if there is no repentance. See, they always go together as faith and works, grace and fruit. They were never intended to be separated. Heretics separate them, not God. Okay, go down to verse 4, 14. But put on the Lord Jesus. What did he say up there? Put on the armor of light. If you put on the armor of light, if you put on the new man, if you put on the whole armor of God, then what are you doing? You are putting on the Lord Jesus. He's telling us who he is and what fruit and power he's given us. So that's what it is. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ, so after you've cast off the darkness. See, the devil don't have to come and tempt you when you're already defeated. And when you're already walking in the flesh, there ain't no temptation. He don't have to tempt you. You're already defeated. He got you where he wants you. But when you've put on the new, and you're walking in the Spirit, and you're walking in obedience, then notice what he says. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So what is he saying? If you put on the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, of hope, of faith, he's saying what? When you do that, then you can't be making provision for the flesh. To make provision for the flesh, you have to take the armor off. You have to submit to the old man. You have to lay God aside to do it, is what he's telling you. And that's what we're to watch for. So he says, what? If you put on the new, then don't make provision. You have a will in the matter. You have a consent in the matter. And that's what the devil will appeal to. Either through trickery or through great trials or anything, he will try to get you. See, he cannot make you unrighteous unless you can get the breastplate off of you. But he can't rip it off of you. See, he can't snatch you out of the Father's hand. Jesus said nobody can. But the Scripture never said nothing about you walking away as the prodigal son did. See, he chose to leave the Father's house. So, see, your will is never taken from you. Okay, so if we put on the new man, if we make no provision for the flesh, we're not tempting ourselves. We use the illustration, if you have a weakness in an area or you've been tried in a certain area, it's like dieting. If you like apple pie, you don't bring apple pie into your house when you're trying to diet and put it on the table and walk around the table 7 times, God, please give me grace not to eat it. Please give me grace. No, you take the pie and you throw it out the window. See, there's a time the Scripture says flee from temptation. See, you don't entertain it. Why? Because you know it already has a strong pull on you, so you don't go looking for it. You know. But see, people who play with sin, remember we talked about the lightning. It's like playing with that middle rod of electricity of the streetcar. You just play with it until it binds you. See, people play with sin, and then they're so shocked when it gets them. Scripture says sin is a cord that binds. Now, once you play with it, you're already making provision. See, you want to go, you know what you want to do? You want to see, I'm going to show you what a wicked heart is. You want me to show you your wicked heart? Okay, I'll give it to you because I've been there. It says, how far can I go and not sin? How far can I play with this thing and, until I cross that? You should stay away from that line. See, the devil's going to say, why don't you just come right up to the line here? You don't have to step over it. Just get about right here. And when you get about a foot from him, he starts sucking you with his enticements, and you start like a lamb to the slaughter. See? All I want to do is look. All I want to do is play with it. See, he's a master at this game. That was Eve's defeat. God had already told her, you'll not touch the tree, you're not to eat of it. And what was she doing over there by the tree? You ever thought about that? You know, if God had told us, we would think, hey, if he said leave this alone, stay away from it. You got 1,000 other fruit trees. Just stay away from this one. Because he said, if I eat this one. And she said, even touch it. So we don't know if God told her that. Maybe he did. But she's over there listening to the devil. And he said, oh, God really didn't mean that. Come a little closer. And he says, look how pretty that fruit is. And she said, oh, yeah, it is pretty. She said, it's the light to her eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. It tastes good. It looks good. And then it appealed to the pride of life. Oh, it'll make me smart. Yeah, it made her smart. You notice how smart she got. As soon as she ate it, she figured out she was naked and fearful and afraid. It really enlightened her, didn't it? Yeah, she got real knowledge, didn't she? But see, that's what happens when you want to play with sin. Yeah, just turn that channel and, you know. I had someone tell me, I got rid of the Playboy channel and I got rid of this channel. And I was talking to them one time. They didn't know they were going to reveal their heart to me. And we were just making general conversation. And we were talking about the cable channels. And he said, yeah, it's hard. He said, one night I was watching this Playboy thing. He didn't know he was saying this to me. And he said, you know how it scrambled. But I got behind there for 20 minutes, and I got it, and all of a sudden it dawned on what they were telling me. I said, why don't you go order the Playboy channel? Well, that would be sin. I didn't know different what you're doing, trying to unscramble it. See, he was playing a game with himself. Don't play games with God or with temptation, because you'll lose. You know, see, the devil already has you. He's laughing. He's mocking you. Now, you know, you stay away from the bakery when you're dieting. You don't walk by and say, oh, it smells so good. I just want to go up and smell it. You know, and that lady or that man sitting behind the counter waving and, you know, oh, they're on sale today. Yeah. See, that's how the enemy works. So see, there's a time the scripture says, flee fornication, flee sin, flee these things. It means there's a time you come into a place that you feel the pull of the old man or the old woman. And you feel the enticement, for every man is drawn away and enticed by his own nature. You know, and when they're enticed, they start, and you say, no, 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 no. But you don't sit there and play with it. And that's why many get defeated, and they stand there. Wouldn't you think it was stupid? If I saw someone up at the bakery, and they were sitting there looking and looking, and I said, why don't you go buy it? And they said, oh, no, I'm dieting. And you sit there and think, you dumb head. And then they're sitting there and say, oh, God, please help me not to eat it. Please, God, help me not to eat it. See, that's what people do. And then they wonder why they're defeated. See, that's what it means to make provision. No, there's some things you run from. There's some things you flee from, you know, because it means if you get too close, it'll hook you. And then you'll sit there and be saying, oh, God, how did I end up here? Oh, God, help me. And God's going to say, no, you reap, you know, you reap. And he will chasten. Okay, 1 Corinthians, we covered that. But if we make no provision for the flesh, if we obtain grace in time of need, if we watch and we pray and ask for God's grace and help when trials come, then again he will keep us. Chapter 10 verse 12 and 13. Remember this one often. We started with it. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's a key here. Why? If you think you stand, you end up like Peter saying, I will not forsake you. Don't rely on your natural man. It's no match for the devil. Don't rely on him. He said, don't be self-sufficient. Why? Because it's pride. It's independence. And James said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And immediately Peter said the similar thing, and he said, watch and pray. Or he said, watch, for your adversary the devil goes about seeking whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast in the faith. That's after you've submitted to the will of God. And that's after you've watched and prayed. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee. Otherwise, he don't go nowhere. He laughs and mocks you because he knows he has you. So again, when we come to the throne of grace, we come to get grace because we say, Lord, my spirit's willing, but this temptation is so great or seemingly overwhelming that I need more grace. Obviously, the enemy is coming in. Either deliver me in it or deliver me out of it. And he says, so that's his promise, not to the self-sufficient. No temptation has overwhelmed you, has overtaken you, except such is common to man. But God is what? Faithful. And who is he faithful to? Those who are faithful to him. Okay? And he says, who will not allow you to be tested beyond which you are able. You know what that means? That's only those who are walking in obedience. And what does it mean? He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, above your strength, above your ability, above the grace that I give you. My grace is sufficient to what point? To the point that I'm testing you. For if you're in me, and this trial is of my working, I have set the hedge. I have set the limit to what the enemy can do, and he cannot go one step further. But if you make provision for the flesh, or you get proud, and you don't watch and pray, the devil's going to come into your backyard and beat you so good, you're going to wonder what happened. Okay? So he says, what? God will not allow you to be tested beyond what you're able. He will keep you from the hour of trial, great trial, because you have kept his word to persevere, because you have endured. It means you're already overcoming where you're at, and therefore he will give you what you need to overcome, or he will set the standard and says, enemy, no further. So see, that's what he's promised those. That's the more grace. But with the temptation will make the way of escape. Again, he makes a way by setting the devil's limit, or he gives us wisdom. And if he says flee, that's his way of escape. And if you stand there and don't flee, then you're going to be defeated. See, a lot of people are presumptuous. A lot of Christians. Remember I told you the story briefly of the young man who used to come to the Bible study I had, and he felt so spiritual one week. He had prayed and sought the Lord, and he felt so spiritual. And he's sitting on a bus coming home, and he felt so spiritual. It was pride that he uttered something out of his mouth on the bus. He said, I'm ready for you today, Satan. Try what you want. Don't go looking for the devil. He'll find you. And he said it wasn't even 5 minutes. He got off that bus at the bus stop, and two young teenagers pulled out of a car, walked up to him, and punched him in the mouth and knocked him on the ground and got in their car and drove off. See, the devil let him know. He knows how to play this game, too. But see, the devil saw what? He had pride and self-sufficiency. And he knew God wasn't going to give him no grace. He figured what? No, he needs to be taught a lesson. No, don't go look for the devil. He'll find you. You don't have to go look for him. He has your address. One of his demons knows your address. They probably follow you around all the time. So you don't have to go looking for him. We're not told to go look for him. We're told to be ready in the evil hour. We're to be ready in the day of trial. See, that way God sets the stage. And God says, okay, devil, you can come this far. You know, I'll give you 10 feet on your chain. I won't give you 12. You know, and then he tells us, this is what I want. I want you to overcome him because I've given you grace. And see, that's what he wants us to overcome. There's where he wants us tested. But he didn't say, walk away from me and go and wrestle with the devil in his territory, because you will be defeated. Okay, so he says what? He will make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So what is trial and overcoming? Blessed is the man when he is tested, for when he has endured, he shall receive the crown of life. For God will give this to those who love him. Remember, see, the two ways you prove you love God, you keep his word and you endure temptation. So when people start telling you they love God, find out if they do one of those two things. If they don't, they have a sentimentality for God, which don't move God in the least. Now, if you love God, he says, you keep my word. And if you love me, you'll keep my command to persevere. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, in patience, in perseverance, in endurance, you keep your souls. And what do you endure? When you endure, you keep God's command not to sin and be disobedient no matter what the devil tries to get you to do. That's what it means. And he says this is where he wants your faith to be tested and proven. How do you prove your faith? You overcome. How do you prove your loyalty? You stay loyal. It's very simple. But again, God gives you the weapons and gives you the grace. But if you don't put it into practice, you will go down in defeat. Jude. We'll be closing soon. Okay. Look at verse 24. Now him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now him that is able to keep you from falling. What is God able to do? To keep you. What does the word able mean? He has the ability and the power. To keep you from falling. How is he going to do it? Outside of you? No. When we get into Ephesians, we're going to see what he means when he says he's able to do abundantly. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You're going to overcome you and the Lord. It ain't going to be the Lord himself. It ain't going to be you yourself. It's going to be the union. That's what overcoming is. That's what the new man is. See, it's the yoking. It's the unity. He who have joined himself to the Lord is one spirit. We're not told to go in our own strength. But we are told to get the helper and go for help. So he's saying what? Keep yourself. He's able to keep you from falling. God is able. But it doesn't apply to everybody. Go back to the other verses. Go to 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, that's your job. He said, pray in the Spirit. Pray in God's will. Pray with the help of the Lord. Pray according to God's ability. And notice what else he says. 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What do you command it to do? Keep yourself in the love of God. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? It's very simple. You keep His commandments and you endure. And see, if you do those two things, if you have a little strength like the Philadelphia church and you hold on with the strength He's given, He'll give more. And then what will He do? He is able to keep you from falling. But see, that don't apply if you're not praying. And that doesn't apply if you're not keeping yourself God's will. See, if you are disobedient, if you become carnal and lukewarm and worldly, you get nothing. He will allow you to be defeated. He'll allow you to do just what you want to do. And again, that scripture will not apply. All things will not work together for your good. They'll work together for your harm and for your destruction. So again, ours is what? We are to abide in the vine. The branch is not sufficient of itself. It can do nothing of itself. But it must abide in the vine. It must draw everything it needs, but it must draw. Nowhere is the vine told it's going to do something apart from the branch's will. Fruit comes by what? The abiding of the two. Without the vine, Jesus, there is no fruit. And without the branch, there is no fruit. He that hath joined himself to the Lord is one spirit. So what produces the fruit? The union of God with man. When we yoke ourselves with Jesus, this is what it means to put on Christ Jesus. This is what it means to put on the armor of light. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Let's close there. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have promised us to keep us from the hour of trial if we keep ourselves in the love of God. You have promised, Lord, not to allow us to be tested above which we are able if we are making no provision for the flesh and the lust thereof. And where others are led astray and deceived, you have promised us that you will not allow us to be deceived because we will not reject your truth. And we will submit to the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of truth who will keep us in the narrow way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.